The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
In the meantime, though, the Republic of Ireland obviously don't have that many goalkeepers playing first-team football. Maybe they should be looking at what happened with Notts County last night. I'm delighted to say Michael Doyle is on the line. Ireland's newest goalkeeping sensation. Michael, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad. I don't know about that.
What happened and how much did you enjoy that?
Probably enjoyed it more once we went to the stoppage time, to be honest with you, when we were 3-0 up. Because I knew at half time we were 3-0 up and I was going to the toilet and just thinking to myself, please just win this game. You know, don't have a lot to do, lads. Because I know what it's like when you go on goal. It's hard in the sense that you get peppered with a few shots, you're in trouble, you know, if they're not straight at you. So, I was a bit nervous.
So what time was, how far into the match was the goalkeeper sent off?
We were only about 10 minutes. What was it? It was 73 minutes I ended up in goal for. So it was a long period. We started the game, started quite well. We were fortunate enough for us, we were 1-0 up and the keeper got a back pass and he put his foot in and he just got into two minds and their lad kind of came out of nowhere and closed them down. So he, to be fair, the keeper kind of two-footed him in a sense, he got the ball and it was just, you know, basically it was a dangerous play. He didn't really hurt the lad. You know what the game's like now, you know, he sort of lunged in and the lad's, he's made the most of it and got sent off and give a penalty. So I walked over and said, oh, bloody hell, this is going to be a long night, 10 men. And then I just thought, oh, Jesus, we've no one on the bench. We've no keeper on the bench because in our league, you're only allowed five subs and the gaffer, our manager, he usually doesn't put a goalkeeper on the bench because the chances of that are very slim what happened. And so that was really the start of it, you know.
How long is that conversation? Who's going in goals? Are you automatically the designated sub-goalkeeper or what happens?
Well, what happened was at the start of the season, before the start of the season, he texted me and just said, oh, will you ask the lads there's a lot of games, we're not going to go and goal. We're not going to have a sub-keeper on the bench. So can you just ask the lads who'd volunteer to go on goal? So straight away, I said myself, and there's another Irish lad there from Limerick, Damon McCrory, both of us sort of play Gaelic. So both of us were like, yeah, we'll do it. And a couple of the big centre-halves and that. And I said to the manager, but he just said, no problem. Not ever thinking you'd ever really need to use it. So once that had, we'd gone down to the 10 men and realised we didn't have keeper, I said to the big striker, I said, go over and ask the gaffer who he wants to go and goal. So he came back down and goes, oh, Doyle, he said you. I was like, oh, no. I was thinking, yeah. But he was like, no, you don't go and goal. The striker said, we'll need your experience and this and that. So this lad from Portugal, he's a good lad, like Ruben, he was like, oh, I'll go in. And I was thinking, no, we can't put you in goal, like, you know, without being disrespectful. I was thinking, we can't put you in goal. But then I was thinking, they're all right, you go and goal. So he started kitting up. So I just thought, I'll run over to the manager just to see what he's thinking formation-wise. And I said, look, Ruben's going to go and goal. I said, I know you probably want me, but a couple of lads have said, no, me stay out. He's like, no, you go and goal, just do this and that. And I said, right, no problem. I said, as long as you're okay. So I knew they had a penalty there from that point. So I just thought, I'm just going to take as long as I want here, because the longer I make and wait for a penalty, it starts putting doubt in your mind and that. So I'd have to say, I took about a good six minutes to get ready to get in goal, you know.
And what happened when he took the penalty?
Well, I actually got changed over at near the dugout, put the kit and that on the walk down, and the ref was like, right, hurry up. And I had the towel and that in my hand, like I was ever going to use it in the water, and walk behind the goal and start snooping about, like checking out the area. And, just really making take his time. And I kind of looked, he was laughing at me, so I started talking to him. I was behind the goal at the net, like, and banging my feet off bloody steel posts and that, like keepers do. I was just thinking of anything to slow it down. And then I went into the nets and I I then put the towel in the back of the net, and I could hear one of their lads saying, "I bet you can't even reach the crossbar. Look at the size of them." It was a good old laugh. And I jumped in goal, and the lad was lined up right to go. So he started backing up. So I then jumped out of the goal and walked up to the penalty spot and says, "That's not on the spot." And the ref was like losing the head. He was like, "I'm telling you now, get in goal or I'm going to book you." I was thinking, he's made a massive decision already, sent some mob. He ain't going to book me. So I'd asked the goalkeeping coach previously, "What will I do on the penalty? Like, where will I go? What side? Where does he shoot?" And he's like, "Look, go to your right. Go to the right." So I just went to my right, and fortunate enough, the ball's gone to my right, but it's hit the post and come back out to him. So it was a massive bit of luck, and that had a big part in the game, them missing the penalty, because we are 1-0 up down to 10 men and they've missed the penalty. It played a big part in it, you know.
That's mad.
It was when I was in goal, I was thinking, what will I bloody do here? Like, you know, I didn't have a clue. You know, when you're younger and you jump in goal and it's a bit of a mess about in the park. But I actually felt like that kid, you know, in goal when you're in the park and you're watching kids football playing, you've got the smallest player in the pitch in goal. And I think he looks bloody tiny in that goal. That's what I felt like, you know.
It's like you said there a few minutes ago that you could say something that was coming directly at you, or you just stand in the way. But that is just patently untrue. There is video evidence of you making a pretty good save of that effort. I think it's in the second half. There's a goal low to your left, and you've got to make a pretty good stop on that situation.
Yeah, to be fair, like, that was in the first half. Funny enough, we were there. They had a couple of scrambles and a few saves to make. Like, don't get me wrong, nothing major in the sense of, you know, pulling out at the top corner, a few down low and getting good hands on them. And but yeah, as I say, it was that one again, more me outfield instincts came probably. I think that was the one where I flew out and closed the angle down and I kind of came out feet first. So I had a couple of little things like that, and another one in the second half where a cross came in. And naturally, as a goalkeeper, the instincts were to fly out and dive on top of it. Well, I flew out and two-footed it away in the second half, you know. So it was whatever needs possible, you know.
It was also pretty important that you did tell Ruben Rodriguez not to go on goal.
Well, the manager said that, you know. So, as I say, look, I've got to be totally honest, you know, the few catches and things like that, and you know, I said it last night, my GAA, you know, playing the Gaelic when I was younger, it did come in, you know, probably being able to catch a ball and things like that and knowing how to catch it came in massively. But you know, the lads in front of me, we ended up winning 3-1, and you know, to be fair, the outfield players were absolutely brilliant, you know. They put a right shift in and played for one another, and you know, I didn't have a majorly over lot to do, which was great for me.
That's class.
He scored the winner, though, didn't he?
Ruben scored, yeah. He got a fantastic second goal. And he was, every time he scored or we scored, he'd be running up to me celebrating. So it was brilliant on his behalf. And as well, I was walking up at halftime and I said, "See, there you go. There's no way I would have scored that goal. You scored, so..." You know, says, "Thank God you didn't go in goal." So brilliant, you know.
What happened with their 91st minute goal, and how disappointing was that?
They did a bit of a, you know, a lot of bodies around the ball, the edge of the box, and the ball just came to one of their lads quite late on, and I could see him. There was a bit of a gap, and I haven't seen it back, but I thought he just side footed from outside the box, kind of. It didn't look a great strike and kind of went in, and I was thinking a goalkeeper would have easily got that, you know. And when they talk about goalkeepers having good feet and that, I was like, I was probably on the line, I probably should have been out and moved my feet and, you know, got a good strong hand to put it out for a corner, but maybe I'm being I'm analysing it too much.
I think you'll be forgiven for that one. It was a big win, Notts County. All of a sudden, now you're back in the, I think, is it fourth or fifth in the table, well in the hunt for a playoff place, and not that far behind automatic.
Yeah, I mean, we've got four games in hand, and it's, everybody knows it's a crazy season, and certainly at our level, I think you know, games are getting called off every other week with COVID, and you don't know if the season's gonna get called off or not. It's just a bit mind-boggling what's going on at times. But, you know, our lads, I think the hardest thing for our manager at the minute is telling lads when games are called off and not the disappointment, you know. But on the football side of it, you know, we've got a really good momentum going and we're flying, and we're not even halfway through the point of the season yet. So we're in a great place. I think we're gonna come really strong as a team, and results like last night with what happened and the circumstances, it's only going to benefit us as a team, you know, to come through something like that. So I think it's we're in a great place, you know, and I think, you know, the club we are, we certainly need to be getting back into the Football League.
How did you end up at Notts County? How long are you there?
Yeah, I'm there 2 years now. I was at Coventry, and I wasn't really playing, and there was a chance of going on to the coaching staff at Coventry and looking at maybe being a player coach and finishing 2 years ago and being a coach. And the opportunity basically come up to go to Notts County, where they were in a you know, 10 points from safety in League Two, big relegation battle. And it was him and Han and whether to go. And, you know, location wise, it was giving me an opportunity to play again. And it was, you know, it was very close to me home. So it was, that's basically how it came about. I decided to take the jump. And unfortunately, we came quite close, didn't stay up. And, you know, I didn't really want to leave the club with, you know, going out of the Football League, your longest serving club, and there was a lot of circumstances with ownership changing, and there's a chance the club were going to liquidate. So I wanted to stay and be able to help the club, you know, try and get back into the Football League and see where we go from there. And, you know, 2 years later now, I'm still sort of playing, but hopefully we're going to do it this year and we'll see what happens then.
Are you obviously thinking about coaching? If you were already thinking about coaching 2 years ago, is that, people might be unfamiliar, you're 39 at this stage, so there's definitely the back nine of your playing career anyway.
Ah, definitely. Look, I'm no doubt about it, you know. But yeah, certainly coaching's, you know, I'm definitely looking to make that next step. But at the same time, I did think, you know, this was going to be my last year. But I feel great, you know, I feel fit, and, you know, regards like GPS numbers and that, I'm always up the top with you know, every game. I never miss training, and, you know, I play every game. I don't need to miss games. So, you know, the fitness, again, I've been very fortunate that, you know, with it. And I probably thought this year, this will be it. But I just think it's stupid for me to say, put myself in that bracket, because I don't feel like I want to retire, and I don't know if I'm going to, so I'm not going to, you know, be one of them or start like, you know, I feel good, and my age isn't affecting me, you know, my body's never let me down, and I think as soon as the body starts letting you down, when you get into your 30s, you do automatically start thinking, right, I maybe need to retire. But my body has been, it's been great, it's worked brilliant for me, you know.
Yeah, and like, obviously loads of players are playing on much later now than they were 10 years ago, because the science has moved on and the fitness and nutrition has moved on and when to rest, all that kind of stuff. So you could definitely have a while longer. Just in terms of management and coaching, like, people might be a little bit unfamiliar with your career journey, but you've, like, all the way back to when you were a kid playing, you were in Denmark for like 20 odd games playing football there. The amount of players and managers who you've played with who are in very senior positions in the game at the moment, it's like a who's who of people in football.
Yeah, again, look, I've been very fortunate to work with some brilliant people and play at some good clubs. And as I say, it's one of them. Hopefully, when it comes to it, you know, that they're always there for you to lean on and you know, advice and anything you need. And again, even the manager now I'm working with, Neil Ardley, he's been brilliant to me, treats me great, and they kind of lean on you as well for your experience, and it benefits me and it benefits them. We can all help each other. So as I say, I've really, really last probably 5-6 years of my career thought about coaching and learning. And to be fair, I've worked with some great managers the last 5-6 years, and Paul Cook, who was previously a Sligo, he was absolutely brilliant. Mark Robbins, Neil Ardley, and, you know, they're all sort of modern day managers, and, you know, learning about the game tactically and, you know, training and the methods to use. It's and again, even last night with us going down to 10 men, usually it's getting, you know, four, five, four, getting everybody behind the ball. But Our manager switched formation, went to a diamond, left one up top, and just little things like that, learning about how things are working when you get to my stage of your career. There's probably not a lot of lads were looking at what we were doing, but you know, the manager had said to me what he was doing, and I took it on board, and it worked great. So it just gives you them little nuggets if you ever do come into that situation and you're on a coaching staff, what can work.
Maybe playing a few games in goal would also elongate your career.
Well, that's it, you know. As I say, the amount of texts and stuff I had last night about ending up in goal, it was, you know, bloody. One of the lads in the interview said to me last night, "What is it with you and Dagenham?" And I was like, "Well, what you mean?" He said, "Well, last year you scored from the halfway line against them, and then you got sent off, and now you've ended up in goal." And I said, "Bloody hell, you're not wrong, you know. It's I've had an eventful time against them."
What was the GA club that you played with as a kid?
Yeah, I played with St Mark's in Talla, where I grew up, you know. And as I say, very fortunate, you know, my brothers and things like that. I always played GA all the way up till I was 18, till I went to Celtic. I was playing GA and I loved it, you know. But I never thought I'd have to use it and it'd come in, you know. I think there's that bit, and every Irish player that you play with over here that's played a bit of GAA, they love getting the gloves on after training the odd time and having a mess about. But I was never really one of them, because every time I went goal, I always felt absolutely tiny, you know. So, I didn't really think about it, but when I came home last night, I was thinking, bloody hell, like, I've played in goal in a professional game now as well. It's funny, you know.
You were in Ireland squads around the early parts of the noughties, so around 2004, that time. There was probably a period around there where instead of it would have been Dubs versus Cultures, it could have been Talla versus the rest, because yourself and Robbie and Richard Dunn, and there was a couple of others, I think, from that era as well.
Graham Barrett, there was a good few lads from Talla away that have been very fortunate to, you know, as I say, likes of Robbie and that was, you know, they've had some careers, but a lot of other lads that have, you know, gone under, probably a little bit under the radar, actually, not the Premier League, but yeah, a lot of good people from Talla. And I see the lad last night again from West Ham, he another Talla lad, you know, having an impact and playing. So it's great to see such a big area, Talla, and the amount of sports people that come for it is brilliant, you know. And one thing I always thought about Talla, obviously Shamrock Rovers are there now, was we never had a big sort of junior schoolboy club with the size of the area. You know, everybody was going off playing for Cherry Orchards and Home Farm and that. And that's probably the one thing we probably should have had a big junior football club in Talla with the size of the area.
Yeah, and maybe the Rovers situation is actually going to fix all that, and they'll be able to pool those players, because, like, it is kind of the heartland of Irish football when you think about it. Certainly from your era growing up to now. And in terms of, like, getting involved with the international setup at some point as a coach, is that all part of your future ambition, or are you going to let all that look after itself?
Ah, yeah, just look, obviously, I think that's anybody's, you know, everybody'd love to be involved, something like that, you know. Getting onto the coaching side of things now, it's really hard, you know. It's the jobs are very, very hard to come by, and it's not like it used to be, probably, where you'd finish playing, you could just walk into a job. It's very hard to come across a job now. So as you say, with contacts and that you have, you got to use them when you get to that stage. And again, hopefully you can, you know, be around Notts County and that, and we'll see where we go. But I think international wise, with coaching and things like that, I think it's a long way away. Yeah, for me, I think like to learn over here and you know, get involved at a club. And you never know down the road whether, you know, you could help out internationally. As I say, it's a long way away.
I hear they've renamed you Schmeichel Doyle in one of the WhatsApp groups.
Yeah, the lads, a few photos flown around last night with bloody Neuer forced, and then it was the old, you know, Renny O'Guita, the Colombian keeper, when he done that backflip. Did my face and all sorts of the keepers, they're coming in all night, and Yeah, it was funny, you know, that even a half time, funny enough, when the lads are like, bloody hell, you're like that fella out of Mean Machine, the monk flying around there. So it was, you got a good laugh out, as I say, and it's brilliant.
Michael, good stuff. Congratulations. Thanks a million for joining us.
Cheers, lads. All the best. Thank you.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.